Better believe them.
Here!
Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture.
Gasp!
It's mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yes, I'm free. You're free. We're all free. You're free to listen to any automotive talk show you want, as long as it's Motor Mouth Radio, because it's the only one you're going to find on Long Island, because we are your premier source for auto, internal combustion, motorcycle, washing machine, lawnmower, dishwasher, and you name it, repair, with Ray Guarino and your hosts, Chris Switzer, over there in the corner.
Oh, yes. We're not looking for money. We're not looking for fame. We're not looking for glory. We're not looking for ratings. And so far, it's been working out quite well here at Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, we've gotten exactly what we weren't looking for, haven't we?
How are you, Ray?
I'm free. I'm doing very well, Chris. I'm playing more music for myself this week because I'm still on a roll here. So,
yes, just you are free. Abiding. You're free in many ways.
Yeah. So what we're
freedom.
I'm also free to book some really good guests. And this week we have booked one of our favorites and one of our great friends, Mr. Carl Anthony from Automoblog.net and AutoVision News.
Yes.
So Carl will be in. Right.
He'll always a wealth of information when we hear from Carl Anthony.
We had Carl on the Thursday night playing in traffic show, and he stayed late. He was a trooper. He actually stayed. He did the long show.
So, I don't know. He may not call.
After that, you never know.
After enduring that show, you may not hear from him anymore.
That's why I said, listen, can you do this again Sunday? But we got to do the shorter version. And Carl knows.
Carl rolled his eyes and went, oh, really? Okay. Again?
So before we talk to Carl, I got a few things I want to get in here. Another guest who's coming down the pike in the future is going to be Frank Jewell. I don't know if you remember his name.
Yes. Why do I?
Okay.
Please refresh my memory.
It's been a while. Frank Jewell owns South Bay Fuel Injectors.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Thank you. Wham. It all comes back to me all at once. A wave of memories of all spilling all over me. I got to roll up my pants here.
I brought Frank some fuel injectors to test and clean, which he did. Turned them around in a day. And he's very anxious to come back and talk with us about. He does a lot of stuff with racing, land and water, a lot of boat guys.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on the forefront of that. So we have Frank in the wings for I'll talk to him and we'll figure out what's a good date. Also, this past Wednesday, I had the pleasure to go to the Olds Club meeting. Remember, 2 weeks ago we had Bob Jones from the Oldsmobile Club of Long Island.
Of course, yes.
Right.
Sure.
And I went to their meeting. Great guys. Great pizza. Oh, man, when I tell you good pizza. Yeah, primo, primo. And they had with their guest for the night was Meredith Jaffe, who Meredith's dad was a designer for GM way back in the heyday of design.
I was doing a little bit of research. His name was Roy Jaffe.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Jaffe's claim to fame, or at least self-proclaimed claim to fame, in this article I read, was that he designed the grill for the 1953 Oldsmobiles, and especially the Fiesta, and the, I guess you could say, the the benefit of that grill was there was no grill at all. It was actually a continuation of the bumper that went up and met with the hood and came back down again. And that was considered the grill. Right. And that he claims that that was one of his proudest designing moments. So, yeah, I'm very interested.
Well, which was also interesting. The reason she was at the old meeting is Roy was very interested in a car that was iconic from the 30s, 1938 to be exact, the Phantom Corsair.
All right.
Google that one. And that was another one that really didn't have a defined grill as such.
It
kind of looks like a sneaker in the front with that. So maybe that's where he kind of got some of his inspiration from. Because one of the guys at the club had met with Roy years ago. He used to do a library tour, but Roy invited this fellow to his house on the North Shore of Long Island. And he said, I stopped because he said, I saw this drawing, you know, a rendering of that 54, I think it was the dash on the wall. And Roy said, yeah, that was my work. I did that. And the idea was that stuff was never supposed to leave the GM Design Center. It's kind of, property of the company.
Sure.
But some stuff always made its way out in the lunchbox, I guess. And he had that on his wall. So
that's very cool. I love stuff like that. I love when you see the progress of an automotive design, when it starts out as almost like a show car and everything is so exaggerated and it just blends over time to get to the point where it becomes a vehicle that you actually recognize and to see some of the hits and misses, some of the stuff, the design elements that stay and some that get dropped, fall to the wayside. That always appeals to me. I always enjoy to watch and photographs the, what would you say, gestation of a good or bad design. So anything like this is incredibly intriguing. How they come up with the direction and with the ideas that they actually put down on paper and or now use, I guess, CAD would be the way you design. But well, at the time, what we're talking, they actually used pencil and paper.
That was the old day, the Mad Men days of driving, right? So anyway, yes. I'll tell you some other quick gestation story that happened this week.
Does it have to do with tacos?
No,
does it have
doesn't.
To do with the pizza?
No. Toyota.
Okay.
My daughter was over the house the other day, and of course, while she's in talking with my wife, I get to go outside and check the tire pressures, check her oil, make sure there's nothing falling off of the car or whatever, you know, dad stuff.
I'm gonna bring over my car to your driveway and just leave it there.
Yeah, I'll call the guys down the block. They'll come strip it in about 3 seconds. Vic and his guys are going to show up. You'll see, you'll be on paving stones. But so I did all my checks. Everything was fine. I said, it's going to be summer. Time to check the air and cabin air filters to see if they need to be replaced.
Good idea.
So I had taken her air box up, and it was kind of hard. It had a hook in the back. It was a little difficult, but check the filter. It was good. And I was working on her vehicle, then I was going to the garage and then coming back. I was doing three things at once, as usual.
And none of them well, if you're like me.
Well, apparently not. I was waiting for her tires to cool enough so I could check the air pressure.
Sure.
So at the end, you know, I did all that.
Wait, hold on one second. You were waiting for the tires to cool?
Well, because when she got there, they were warm. She had just driven the vehicle. So that
could have, oh my God, it could have altered the tire pressure for at least a pound.
Or two or three. Yeah, it could have. And
get the ice cubes.
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
My method for that is put your hand on the tread of the tire. And if it feels warm, just wait a little bit to check it, because now those pressures are inflated. There's no two ways about it.
By a pound, at least.
Have the data to prove it. So anyway, regardless, that's inconsequential in this story.
Yes, I know. Right? That's why I figured I might as well just, jab you with it.
Because that's what you do. Yes, I know. So, buttoned everything up and sent her on her way. And then yesterday, I'm making lunch and I get a text and says, hey, Dad, are you home? Yeah, I'm home. Can you look at my car? All of a sudden, the check engine light came light. All the traction control light. Joe taught us that. The littlest thing, Toyota throws the meteor at it and they light the dashboard up to make you go, ah! go get it looked at.
Like a jukebox, yes.
Yeah, like a Wurlitzer's.
Like a pinball machine. Right. Yeah.
So I said, yeah, come on over. I said, God only knows what this is going to be. So I go out armed with all of my scanners and tools and all that good stuff and you know, got a PL171 code. It was a an air intake issue. I'm like, huh? So I opened the hood, and what do I see? There is out of the air box is the big corrugated tube that now flows over to the throttle body and all. But
sure.
Teeing off of that is about a half inch line. I don't think it's a PCV. It goes into the engine, so probably to the intake manifold. And that was out. It was out of its connector. I'm like, oh well, there's your problem. Major vacuum leak right here. And they described the car was idling funny. It was running weird. The idle was way up. I said, okay, it's trying to compensate for something. So literally, just plug that in, and then started the car, and it ran beautiful. So literally, it was my mistake, because when I had the airbox out, that must have dislodged. And in my haste of doing three things at once, when I buttoned it all up, I was concentrating on the airbox. I didn't look 6 inches over and catch that hose was off.
Uh-huh. But the important question I have for you, my longtime radio colleague, is, what'd you have for the sandwich?
Oh, tuna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A nice Kaiser roll. Nice, salt, pepper, lettuce, pickles. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll do that after the show. Sounds good.
It was good, right? So the takeaway there is, if you're going to do stuff under the hood, always, like we always say, Chris, stand there first and just look at it to try to see what may be amiss. When you're done, stand back and look and see what you might have missed.
Exactly. I always say it's that put your hands in your pockets sort of eyeball. You just sit there and just look at it and go, okay, everything good here. And it's so funny because I'm always famous for leaving tools under the hood.
Oh,
always.
Yeah.
Always. There's always an errant screwdriver or an adapter.
10 millimeter.
10 millimeter socket. Oh, yeah. And you know that noise. The second you pull away from the driveway and you hear ding, 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 ding. And the first thing you do is go for the rearview mirror, because whatever fell out from the engine compartment is now rolling in some direction, and you want to eyeball it so you know what it was.
Oh, if you hear it,
Right, so you can pull over and go get it like a fool.
Yeah, well, or you have to go get the magnet, you know, to retrieve it.
Yes.
Which is the other way of, the other thing that happens all the time.
That's because it's the bounce coefficient of any given socket will fall in the middle of the center of the car every single time.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't roll to a tire. Oh, no. It rolls right to the middle of the car. So you got to get on all fours and then flat on your belly and reaching as far in as you can as your face is up against the tire, trying to get that socket and drag it back, and then so you could chuck it over a fence.
Right. Oh, speaking of that, our good friend Matt Goman Brian is at a car show today, and he's tracking down deadbeats because he said, hey, you know what? Deadbeats don't always go to Harbor Freight. They go to car show. So he's at the car show incognito. I guess he's wearing a car show banner or something. I don't know. He's walking around. He's nabbing guys when they may expect to get nabbed at Harbor Freight. They're not going to expect to get nabbed at a local car show. And he's nabbing them.
To get the full effect of this story, you got to watch Playing in Traffic on Thursday so you can see what Brian looks like. He doesn't really blend in. Like, he doesn't. You can't put a disguise on him.
No.
He is who he is.
Brian is a big guy. That's right. He is a big man. And when he comes up behind you, you know it.
What's he going to do? Wear a funny hat? What's he going to do? But I admire his ingenuity. When he's got a small business, he has to rely on people paying their bills, because if they don't, he has to absorb that. And when you're a small businessman, that's really a tough absorption. You can't absorb people deadbeating you. It's just not right. So I admire him going to find those scafflaws and having him cough up some cash.
Also, before we pick up this call, I also want to throw a shout out to our good friend Chassis John, who's under the weather right now. He's nursing a back ailment, and we hope John gets on his feet real soon and gets back in circulation, because we miss him everywhere.
Yes, so that is true. We do miss him.
With that, we will say, hi, caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. Good to be back.
Hey, Carl, how are you?
Hey,
doing
Carl.
Doing well.
Carl Anthony, so, you called after you endured the Playing in Traffic Thursday show.
Just to prove this man has a high threshold for something, because now he's back for more.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always nice to be invited back to Motormouth Radio because I have the same mantra. I'm like, well, you know, no ratings, you know, very little money. Very little fame. I'm like, these are my people. This is my group. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. And Carl, you always find a way to make a promo statement, which we love.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, people say to me, they say, you know, Carl, why are you in the automotive business? And I'm like, look, you know, if it wasn't for all the fame and the money and the paparazzi, I wouldn't even be in automotive. I wouldn't even be in this business. You know, because I tell you what, when I was a young service advisor and a young lube technician, you know, I'd be down there in Lower Bay, you know, and I tell you what, paparazzi'd come in while I was trying to do like an up top oil filter because they'd never seen an up top oil filter, you know, and then they'd come down to Lower Bay as I was doing oil inventory. I said, you know what, this is for the birds. So I almost quit automotive right there. I said, I can't handle this fame, but, you know, after a while, it gets in your blood, and then I'm a completely different person now, you know. So I'm going to be doing my farewell tour here pretty soon.
Well, make sure it's like the Stones or the Who or somebody that'll just go on for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And make sure when you're signing your autographs, make sure you sign body parts.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That is the Automoblog way.
Okay. Cool. So, yeah, speaking of Automoblog, you guys have been as active as ever, as always, always putting up good posts and good stuff. And, you know, I guess we'll save it for our second segment. I'll talk about the Eskimo banquet stuff that you're doing, but we'll save that for later.
Yeah.
What's up? What can you tease us with to have people directed to go see in this segment?
Yeah, so I tell you what, Ray and Chris, I got to say thank you to our wonderful team, you know, Alvin and Alex and Tony, you know, just our wonderful team at Automoblog that day in, day out gets it done. You know, they make my job as an editor quite rewarding. But right now, what we're really doing is building up the Automoblog YouTube channel. And that is a main area of focus throughout this summer and even through the end of the year. So we'd like to get more subscribers and more watch hours on the YouTube. We are doing a series of videos coming up on radar detectors, which is very popular amongst our readers. We're doing some comparison between all of the new unit and radar detectors. We've got some stuff coming on car warranties, just helpful videos on car warranties. Vehicle overviews. So if you're shopping for a new vehicle, we've tried to take these new vehicles that are on the market, condense everything down in like 3 to 5 minutes and just get all the information right there. So our YouTube channel is the big thing we're working on right now, guys.
Yeah. I noticed on when I watch TV, there's a couple more companies that have sprung up now to do car warranties, you know, second party warranties, new names that I'd never heard before. And I'm always curious, is it an offshoot of another company that maybe didn't fare too well or didn't have great, acceptance? Or is it just something totally new? And I'm wondering, like, what does it take to get into that field? Like, you know, I wonder, like, what do you have to do if you want to be a car warranty company? What do you have to do? Because it seems like every Tom, Dick, and Harry now is coming out with one.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and when we have this new video up on our YouTube, and it was up as of this weekend, just the 5 best warranty companies on the market right now. And this is from our research team. So we've got a research team in North Carolina that helps with all of this stuff. There are dozens of warranty companies on the market. I have the same question you do, Ray. I'm like, how in the world? But there's a few ones that continue to pop up each time, and it's like Endurance and CarChex. CarChex has been around for like 20-some years, you know. The one that kind of stood out, there's a company called CarShield.
Yeah, that's
a big
one. And
as I understand, they're lower in price, but the reason being is that they don't actually underwrite their own policies. They go through other companies to do that. Now, whether that's good, like, our review team found that that wasn't a bad thing. Like, that's a good thing because it keeps the cost down for the consumer. Mm-hmm. But I have no idea how you would get into that. Like, you know, I mean, if I were going to sit here and go, I'm going to do a startup automotive company, warranty, I would have no idea how to get into, you know, and which is, again, you know, as an editor, we lean on our review team to help us out with that. You know, and they say these are the best ones, and then I'm like, okay, I'll set the camera up and do a YouTube video.
Right.
But Carl, I'm wondering how the research is done to find out which one is the best. Do you talk to the consumer? Yeah. Do you talk to the agent? What happens? How does that transpire?
Yeah, so our team looks at several key metrics. So what we do is we will take sort of like dummy vehicles. So like a, you know, 2015 Toyota Corolla with X number of miles, right? And so we'll use a dummy vehicle, but a common vehicle that a normal person would own, right? Like nothing, you know, no Bentleys and Lamborghinis, but we take these average vehicles. And then we go and we get quotes from each of these companies, and we do this multiple times with multiple different vehicles, you know, so sedans, crossovers, SUVs, trucks. So we come back and we benchmark the different coverage levels. And keep in mind, these companies don't just have one coverage level. They have like five or six, right? So you've got a gold plan, a titanium plan, a bronze plan, right? So we go through and we take the same vehicle and we get quotes for each of these programs, right? And then we take a look at, okay, what's covered, what's not covered, you know, what the deductible is, if there is a deductible, what the cost is, how easy is it to take it to an in-network repair center, and then how viable is that in-network repair center? Well, if you live in a place like I do here in Michigan, in Detroit, very populated area, it's probably easy to find an in-network repair, right? But if you live in a smaller community, how does that impact, right? Like, where's your closest facility? And then we ultimately look at customer reviews. And customer reviews are ever-changing, but, you know, your customer reviews will tell the story pretty quickly, good or bad. And then we do look at some other things, like if they're accredited with the Better Business Bureau and things like that, and then how long they've been around, and then what is their industry reputation. So for that, you know, we're looking at things like Edmunds and Kelley Blue Book. You know, those are respected resources, trusted resources in the automotive business. So, you know, how do they look at these extended warranty companies? So there's a lot that goes into it.
That's amazing. But, well,
let me ask you this, Carl. When you guys call with those myriad of vehicles, do they know you're from Automoblog, or are you doing this anonymously?
No, we're not doing it anonymously. They know.
Okay.
So they know that it's part of a review process. So they're well aware of that. So everything is pretty transparent up front. We have done some, or I should say, I have actually written some car shipping reviews. I've also written some reviews on the, like, the pay cash for your car service. Mm-hmm. You know, like pedal and Wheelsy are two of the, like, most popular ones. Where it's like, if you just need to get rid of a car, like a clunker, they literally will send a truck, like a transporter, to come pick it up. They'll meet you, and they'll give you a cash or check on the spot for your car. Now, you don't get near as much money if you trade it in, but if you have to offload a vehicle quickly, like, these services are really good. So when I wrote the reviews, I was like, well, let me just have an imaginary car, a 2015, you know, Ford Fusion with 150,000 miles. So, but they knew that. And then they gave me a quote based on if I would have had that car and they would have come picked it up. So they're well aware of that.
Chris, that would have been good to have back in Brooklyn, huh? Hey,
oh, yeah.
You call, they come pick it up, no questions asked, they give you money. Hey, it would save you the problems of having to go to Bell Parkway in the middle of the night.
We had a guy like that. It was an auto salvage place.
Yeah, Rocco.
$100.
Yeah, I know.
His name was Carmine.
Yeah, Carmine, right. Rocco was his cousin. I know.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing on this warranty stuff. And, you know, I always believe in full disclosure and always believe in being honest in how I conduct business. And, you know, these are affiliate revenue for Automoblog. I mean, this is part of how we keep the lights on. You know, affiliate revenue is a big thing in the internet world and in the publishing world. So that's why we're an Amazon affiliate and Advanced Auto Parts affiliate. So you'll always see the affiliate disclosure up there. So, you know, yes, there is a revenue stream for Automoblog, but as we have always said to people, look, you know, you have to do what's best for you, and sometimes an extended warranty is right for you, and sometimes it's not, you know. So we're very careful in vehicle overviews to say, here, read this guide first. Read the guide on a Toyota extended warranty or a Ford extended warranty or a GM extended warranty. Read this guide first and then make a decision, because I remember being a service advisor, you know, and this has been over a decade ago now, but you would have somebody with like a really nice Cadillac. Like Cadillac DTS was a popular car back then, but that was a car people did not drive a lot of, right? They just drove it in their local area, and it was typical. You'd have a guy who'd just drive it to church and back. You know, it was just, it was his baby, his DTS. And at the dealership, he bought a huge extended warranty package, you know, and paid thousands of dollars for it, you know, all really to drive about 8,000 miles a year, if that. You know what I mean? And he was paying a lot of money for a service that didn't benefit him. So, you know, in full disclosure, when it comes to car warranties and stuff like that, yeah, they can be a good thing, but you just have to do your research and you just have to really dot your I's and cross your T's.
Yeah, right.
That's really good, a good way of thinking, definitely. And I'm thinking if you had a car that you were driving and commuting and you really relied upon it you were, I don't know, I guess commuting, basically, I'm thinking along those lines, because I had to go from like Brooklyn to Long Island, and that was hell every day. So I would probably have been a prime candidate for something like that, for an extended warranty. Yeah.
Now, when you lost a wheel on the highway, you called me.
That's right. You were my extended warranty, right?
Exactly.
As I'm watching the wheel bounce into the infield on the southern state.
Yeah.
Extended warranty, Ray.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my.
Yeah, right? I know.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, it gives you a chance to use the tools outside the garage, you know?
Yeah.
I knew Ray had purchased this small, low-profile hydraulic jack, and I was like, oh, I'd like to see how that works.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll buy one for myself.
Let's put it to use.
I still haven't bought one for myself because I know Ray has his.
Right, right. Which is now buried in the shed, you know?
Yeah. Ray, I can't believe you still hang out with him.
I know, it's been a long time, too. It has been a long time, but hey, you know, it keeps things, it's the variety, there's a spice of life, Carl, you know, it's...
Yeah, indeed. Well, and as car people, we are the people that you call, right? Hey, my car's doing this, my car's doing, I mean, it's just, it comes with the territory, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Carl, I've come to realize, I know Ray has pretty much forgotten more than I know about automobiles. I know that for a fact. But I can't touch anything under his hood, because I found that if I touch something under his hood, it will instantly combust internally and explode into flame.
It's happened.
We've proven this.
Yeah, it has happened.
I just touched one wire, and I kind of ran, it was like hanging off the clip or something, and I had ran it well. I just draped it where it was supposed to be, and that was it. And that was the wire that, according to Ray, I think was like the next time he was driving the Fiat, that was the one that heated up and burst into flame.
On the way home, I smelled smoke, and I'm like, gee, who's smoking? And then there was no one around me. I'm like, wow, there's no one in front of me, so that's not good. And then I saw the waft coming out from the hood. I'm like, it's me! And like the same sensibility my daughter inherited from me, I guess, it was like, okay, let's not stop on the highway. We got to get a highway tow. Let's get home. So drove it off the highway, got it home, opened the hood, saw the fire, and it was the wire on the Fiat, on the Weber carburetor. It goes to it's a, I forget what they actually call it. It's a solenoid. And if it doesn't have signal, the car shuts off. Well, it's a hot wire, right. And the way Chris routed it, somehow something touched something that was ground, which shorted it and caused it to burn up. So I was able to fix it pretty easily, but it was tense there for a minute.
Imagine that phone call. Hey Ray, buddy. Hey, how you doing? How's the Fiat? How's the Fiat running?
In embers. Yeah. It's,
oh no, no. There is a show, Carl. There is literally a Motormouth Radio show where Ray came in with the singed wire.
Yeah.
Still smelled of smolder. That plastic baked smell.
I had it in my bag for many years.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, he read me the... There was a show, I wish I could find the date, because he read me the Riot Act. Holy smokes, I just let him go. I just let Ray go. He was just let Ray be Ray. He was definitely extended in his explanations.
Oh, yeah.
Just like his warranty.
But it was actually radio-friendly, because it did go out over the air.
There was a lot of fouls and filths going on the air.
I did carry that with me for many years. I finally took it out, I guess. Yeah, I finally took it out.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, Carl, because I thought that between the both of us, I was the only person to drive a car home on fire. And I'm just so glad that I could help my longtime radio colleague do the same. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are friends for?
You are a gem, Chris. Oh, what are friends for? I mean, right? This is why I love this show.
So, you know, Carl, that's a great lead. And the other thing Chris is good for is giving us the honor group of the hour. And do we have one today, Chris?
Of course we do. This is Motormouth Radio. And, of course, at the bottom of the hour, we have the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. And this week, it's speaking of which, this is kind of foreshadowing here. This is individuals that have gotten attacked by their vehicles. Have you ever been zapped by an Eric Bear wire sitting by the battery or alternator? Has the engine backfired through the carburetor just as you were looking down into it? Has a scalding hot exhaust manifold jumped out and burned your forearm? Have you ever put the car in neutral on a perfectly level surface and when you least expect it will slowly creep towards you with the intent of pinning you to the garage door? Well, if you've ever been speared, cut, gouged, scalded, blinded, or crushed, or in any way unexpectedly assaulted by your vehicle, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Yeah, we all apply for that one. That's good. That's
oh my word.
And I will say this does take a life, because on the Thursday, I'm playing in traffic on Thursday night, guys will say, hey, you know, I made it to the Honor Group of the Hour last week. I'm like, oh, okay, very good. Well...
Yeah, what are you working on, Christine?
At any time, it could be anything. That's right.
Yeah. quite an ex-girlfriend. Glad we broke up.
Right. So let me tell you about something else that you want to do. Thursday nights at 10, if you're not watching Playing in Traffic, which would be, that'd be an infomnia. That's terrible. Tune into this station to listen to FM Punk. It's a radio show dedicated to all different kinds of punk music, including metalcore, hardcore, thrashcore, and for us they put in heatercore, as well as the folk punk and pop punk. Try and say that without a pop filter on your microphone. And it's hosted by Riley Hogan. He does a great job. So, Carl, we need you to hang with us for a few minutes while we take care of our bottom of the hour break here, and we will be back with more Motormouth Radio, and we're going to talk about an Eskimo banquet, Chris. I know.
Indeed.
Yeah, right?
And I also have to ask Carl my, what would you say, the question that I always ask Carl that will evoke deep thought.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's, another song in my honor from Uriah Heep this time. And then we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio. Carl Anthony, Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino. Keep it where you got it. Until then, just kick back and follow along with the lyrics because it's worth it on 90.3 WHPC.
Never seen before, and I've been forgiven. Easy.
Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Auto Vision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y sí, hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen. Call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you I can.
You're indifferent because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Vote him out!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motormouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Big finish, big finish, Uriah Heep, easy living. That's my mantra from now on. We're back, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and Mr. Carl Anthony from Automoblog.net and AutoVision News. And, Carl.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed. We want to talk about something. Chris, I told Carl this Thursday night, there was a DJ back in the 70s, and there was a popular song at the time, and he said, gee, you know, the band reminds me of something like you'd see and find at a table at an Eskimo banquet. And, of course, the band was Seals and Crofts. it might have been Jim Carr who said that back in the 70s. So Carl is doing a thing called Summer Breeze, which of course was a great Seals and Crofts song.
Yes.
Carl, tell us about 70s. This great endeavor of yours, please.
Yes, indeed. So this is a mini Twitter series that is going to start on Tuesday. So this coming Tuesday, the 7th. If you may remember, over the fall, last fall, October through the winter months, we did something called Late Night Riffs, which was a 2-minute Twitter video that was posted on Thursday nights about 10 o'clock. And it was me just essentially riffing on cars. And it turned out to be actually pretty popular. So we decided to do a similar series for the summer. We named it Summer Breeze after the Seals and Crofts song from 1972, where late night riffs were a little more edgy. Summer Breeze is a little more laid back, and it's a little more relaxed. So every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, between June 7th and August 23rd, for 12 weeks, we are going to put a short video on our Twitter, Tuesday at 2 Eastern, as part of the Summer Breeze series. And it's just me on camera with some B-roll, you know, that will be interlaced. It's just me sitting at my desk for the 2 minutes. But what we're talking about is car shows, the first time that we learned how to drive and blew through that stop sign. You know, summer romances, drive-in movie theaters, cars that we fell in love with as a kid. So there's one episode where I talk about how as a kid I grew up in Minivanville, USA, but every once in a while you'd see a really cool sports car, like an Infiniti or a Dodge Stealth or a Mazda RX-7, and these cars really stuck with me and have continued to stick with me through my childhood. So Summer Breeze is a lot of nostalgia. You'll see the full schedule on our Automoblog Twitter page at Automoblog. We've got a poster up there with a truck that goes through all of the episodes. But it's basically here was kind of the inspiration to give a more succinct sort of description of this. For the last 2 years, with COVID and building up the business that is Automoblog and AutoVision News, I was working 7 days a week. And it got easy to do during quarantine. It got easy to do working from home, right? And I think a lot of people got very burned out. And I think that in the car community, we lost touch because we couldn't go to car shows. We couldn't go to events. We couldn't go to meetups, right? And this Summer Breeze is really about, look, you know, why do we love cars to begin with? Well, whatever that reason is, maybe you love collecting them, maybe you love working on them, maybe you love, in my case, writing about them and, you know, being an automotive journalist or whatever the case may be. What is it that you like about cars? Remember that and then get out this summer because life is just too short.
Yeah.
That's the gist.
That is really cool. I appreciate every word you said there, Carl, because you were absolutely right. You hit it on the head. We got burned out a couple of years ago, and now it's like car guy trying to find themselves once again. Yeah.
I have two questions for you, Carl. And the first one is, well, congratulations. This is a great series. It makes me think of something we should be doing. But you just went for 2+ hours on Thursday on Plane in Traffic talking about cars and stuff. I want to see you do 2 minutes. Because you are a motor mouth, my friend. You are.
I am a motor mouth. I am a motor mouth.
Let's face it. People say it to us like, oh, you can't do anything in less than an hour. I'm like, well. And the other thing I wanted to say was I noticed on Thursday, I wanted to bring it up and didn't get the chance. I like the new background. You got the blue lava lamp and the plain background. You have a little blue glow behind you. It's very, very nice. I like it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is that a wall behind you, or is it a what kind of backdrop is that?
Yes. It's just a standard wall for now with some blue like effects lights that I turn on that are underneath my desk. Wow. My lava lamp I've had forever, and it's just I've been enamored with lava lamps since I was a kid. And even as a grown working adult, I'm like, you know what? I've got my Hot Wheels cars, I got my lava lamps. It is what it is. This is who I am, you know. But so that is what you saw on Thursday night on that Playing in Traffic. That is kind of the new YouTube studio that we're going for.
Okay.
We may rearrange the desk a little bit, but that's kind of the vibe. And then we're hoping to put up a shelf behind me where I can switch out a lot of these old car signs that I have. I've got dozens of car signs. So I think it'd be cool in some of the videos, like, to put up different car signs of, you know, I got old GMC signs, I got old Ford signs, I got an old Lotus sign. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just some. So we're kind of working on that, you know, ever so slowly.
Well, and I will say, if people want to see what we're talking about, go to YouTube and just look for Playing in Traffic. Mm-hmm. It'll come right up, and you'll see Thursday night. You'll see my picture on there because I was hosting. Lewis was off. He had a problem with his hand. So, then you can check out Carl.
The funny thing is, Carl, that's actually a really good idea because anytime we would watch, my wife and I would watch CNN, and they would have all the talking heads. After a while, we were tired of listening to what they were saying. We were looking over their shoulders at their bookcases, and they were looking at all or their placards or whatever they had hang on the wall. Mm-hmm. And we would look at them and just go, oh, wow, look, they went here. Or look, there's a picture of their little bunny. Or look, what is that statue? That's kind of weird. It's upside down. So it's a great idea.
Yeah, look, Chris, what's that? It's a fluorescent light behind you. What's that? There's a box. Look, a hanger of clothes. Oh, my word. You are in here.
Clothes.
What a studio.
Right.
Yeah.
Ray, behind you, it looks like there's a burnt wire. Is that a burnt wire from a Fiat?
Yeah, and there's a fire extinguisher next to it. Yes, exactly. So I want to say, Carl, the Summer Breeze, just to recap, you have 12 episodes up, and the second one, well, washing or washing your car, that's kind
washing,
of...
Washing.
That's cool.
Washing your car.
That's the way some people say it. But the first one, close the laptop and hit the road, is what Uncle Tony DeFeo was saying last week when we had him on. The video he made that spoke to my soul was, you know, go buy another motorcycle and hit the road. It was kind of the same thing.
Yes.
It speaks that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, first time I blew a stop sign, fast times at the drive-in. Chris, you know all about that.
Oh, yeah, the drive-ins in Brooklyn. Yeah,
pack up and go camping. You know, great stuff. Downriver Car Shows, Ford versus Chevy trucks, working toward the Emerald. One that I like, this is great, and my wife, we got a place for all the wives. Never too late to start collecting. So you do cover it all, and I'm anxious to see
same
this
here. I want to watch this. I want to just ask the meaningful question I ask Carl every time he's on. Yeah. I got to ask you.
Yeah, go.
What the meaningful question? Here, Carl, with gas literally touching $5 a gallon, and it'll probably go beyond. What would you think the ultimate fuel-efficient vehicle should be? New or used, bang for the buck, throwing the wife and the kids in it. What would your ultimate fuel-efficient vehicle that you wouldn't mind driving around
in? Well, let me ask, current or from the past?
No, I mean right now. Like, if you wanted to buy, like, a 1980 Honda Civic.
So, from
wagon,
all eras. Okay.
Yeah, anything. Cover the whole thing. I want to hear your number one fuel-efficient vehicle that you would go for right now with $5 and beyond gas. What would you look to purchase?
Yeah, so that's an excellent, excellent question. Well, I think that small sedans are always very good. Now, even though we're going to run the whole gamut here, you're better off to go for a newer car. And the reason being is because you have the benefit of new technologies like, you know, twin independent variable cam timing and, you know, turbocharging and even, you know, the benchmarking that automakers do to lighten the weight of the car. So newer cars are lighter, they're more efficient. So if you are shopping and you're like really looking for something that's super fuel efficient, even though it's more expensive because it's newer, newer is always better. Newer cars tend to get better fuel economy.
Interesting. Chris, what's your pick, Chris?
Well, I'm thinking along the lines of also financially, because I'm saying to myself, okay, are you going to spend $25,000, $30,000 to kind of curtail a $5 a gallon gas bill, or are you going to spend $2,000 and $3,000 or $10,000 to curtail that? It's like I'm trying to look in my crystal ball to see how long gas will be this price,
well,
at this price point.
You know what? Yeah. Since you're missing the point not telling us what car you'd buy, I'm going to tell you mine. I would go for a Honda CRX.
You know what? That's fine. But now
I already have the seats.
Yeah, but now you're talking about, does the wife know how to drive a 5-speed? Can you get the kids in the back? Probably
she
not.
She doesn't drive my car now. My kids are older, so I don't care. I'm cool.
Well, and there was this narrative a couple of years ago that sedans were dead, you know, and that nobody was buying sedans. Now, that's true. If you look at the sales figures, sales of sedans are down when you look at SUVs and crossovers.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of young people. There were a lot of young people, first time married, first time with kids, that were saying, look, we cannot afford a truck. We cannot afford an SUV. And one of the reasons why is we're concerned about several things: monthly payment, insurance payment, and of course, this was a few years ago. And even though gas isn't high now, we're worried about a spike in gas prices. Uh-huh. Therefore, we would like to have a small sedan, because if that happens, then we won't be in a bind. We'll be able to still afford to drive the thing. So yeah. I think for people who are very worried about, and rightfully so, your small sedans and your small SUVs and crossovers, and pick any brand you want. So if you're a Toyota person, then look for a small Toyota crossover or SUV, because you'll get the cargo space and you'll be sitting up a little bit higher. In some cases, you'll have all-wheel drive, but you won't be paying the cost of running a larger SUV, but you'll be sitting up a little higher than a sedan, right? So sedans or small SUVs and crossovers are a good middle ground. So, and again, just, you know, if you're a Ford person, then the Escape. If you're a Honda person, then it's the CR-V, right? Those mid-size crossovers are really good at sort of getting all of the benefits of the cargo space and sitting up a little higher and the fuel efficiency and a generally affordable MSRP and insurance rate. I will say this, though. My 2016 Fiat 500X, which I don't have anymore, it was a lease. I had to trade it in at the end of 2019. My 2016 Fiat 500X had that 2-liter Tiger Shark engine that was made by FCA at the time. I believe it was a 2-liter displacement.
Yeah,
right. That Tiger Shark engine had a system called the multi-air system, mm-hmm. and that was an efficiency system. Guys, I will tell you what, I have never owned, it was a Fiat 500X built on the Jeep Renegade platform, front-wheel drive. All-wheel drive was optional in that year. I had a front-wheel drive. But guys, I got to tell you, I have never owned a vehicle that got such tremendous fuel economy. I'm talking 40 miles to the gallon. I kid you not.
Wow.
Yes. So my in-law, Danielle and I weren't married at the time. We were dating, but we would go over and see her parents over in Jackson, Michigan. From the Detroit area, it's like about a 2-hour drive down I-94. Now, I don't have a lead foot, so this, keep in mind that will hurt your fuel economy too. So keep in mind that if you have a lead foot, no matter what you drive, you're going to be burning through gas. But,
sure.
You know, I would drive reasonably the speed limit, 65 to 70. I would be mindful of my braking. I wouldn't hard brake. And that little 500X of mine with that Tiger Shark engine and that multi-air system, going over to see her parents some weekends with her and I, because she's a car person like I am. You know, we just, that's our thing. And we were looking, we're going, are you serious that we're getting 38, 39, 40 miles to the gallon on the highway with this thing? That was the best fuel-efficient vehicle I'd ever owned, truly.
That's what I said when I got 17 in the FJ. I was like, yes, I got 17 miles to the gallon. I'm getting there.
It's incredible.
It's like hypermiling.
Because, you know, it's funny you should mention that, Carl, because I was looking at something a little bit cheaper and a little bit, but along those same lines. I remember, like, the 1988 to 91, 92 Honda wagons, those big, goofy-looking Honda wagons.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the last year, I think they did have an all-wheel drive version of it. That would be, like, my goal, because that only got, like, 35 miles to a gallon. But what you're saying that gets 40 miles to a gallon at Fiat, that's opening up a whole new door for me, because I would look at those as well. So
right
now we get into the cost of it. Because a 1991 Honda Civic wagon, $4,000 will buy you the best one possible. Where a Fiat would be what 20 grand would.
Yeah.
So that was a factor that I wanted to throw in as well into the choice. But I love the choices that you made. You're absolutely right. A small CRV, Honda CRV, or a Toyota, the RAV4, something that's maybe 15 years old that has low miles that you can find for $5,000 or $7,000 would probably be an excellent commuter car that can help out with the gas budget.
All right, so gas.
Yeah.
Gas budgets notwithstanding, we are getting tight on time here. So, Carl, let me just let's get this out of the way. What's what's down the road for Automoblog and AutoVision News? And please throw out your contact information so people can find you guys all over the web.
Yeah, absolutely. So contact info is quite easy for us. Automoblog is, we're most active on Twitter. We are night owls and we're, you know, we're always on Twitter. So at Automoblog on Twitter, you can visit us, automoblog.net. I get all the messages that come in, and my brother and I, Alex and I, both co-run our Twitter page. So if you reach out to us on Twitter, one of us will see it. So just at Automoblog. We've got a background up with a car on a beach. Will be very, very easy to find. Says Detroit, Michigan. That's us. As far as AutoVision News, that's an industry-focused publication, so we're most active on LinkedIn. So if you have a LinkedIn, you can just search AutoVision News. We've got the blue AV logo up. Says Detroit, Michigan. Same thing. That's us. But what's coming down the pipe for Automoblog is more product reviews this summer. So things like your turtle waxes and your mother's polish and your Rain-X and your radar detectors, all of that stuff coming down the line. We've got a guy who writes for us. Richard Reyna is his name. He's a product training director for Car ID, an online parts retailer, but he's been our resident expert on the classic and collector car market for the last 7 years. We have a series of YouTube videos coming with Richard where I sit down. I've interviewed him over Zoom, so we split the screen kind of thing.
Right.
And we're talking about how to get into the collector car hobby on a budget, like a longer version of what you're going to see in Summer Breeze. What are some of the newest collector car trends? And then what's the deal with EV trucks, right? F-150 Lightning, Chevy Silverado, Cybertruck. So we have a video coming very soon. I think actually we're going to, if with any luck, we'll have it out Monday or Tuesday of this week, that talks about all of these EV trucks. Richard is a great market analyst. He's a great expert, so he's going to go through all that. So that's what's coming up for Automoblog. As far as AutoVision News, what we're really seeing right now, and Ray, we talked about this a little bit on Thursday night, was the idea of a software-defined car. So what does that mean?
Right.
Software architectures versus mechanical architectures. And a lot of the latest news that we're seeing is that these automakers are saying by 2030, we're going to go all electric. So that's really where our focus is on AutoVision News right now, is just keeping the industry people updated who are working, who maybe just, you know, miss the news, or just because they're working, they just didn't see it. So AutoVision News is really more for industry people, but we're trying to keep the industry, the engineers, the marketing people, we're trying to keep them up to date on everything that's happening in the industry as they continue to work in their respective companies.
Got it. Carl, we thank you. I thank you for coming on Thursday and doing the show with me then. You're always welcome to pop in and just and hang out. And we certainly thank you for coming on today to be a guest. And we look forward to getting you back again.
Yes.
I love it. And I'm looking out my window. There's a car on fire. Chris, did you work on a car up here in Michigan?
Get out there with your fire extinguisher.
It's a
goodness.
A possibility.
It's a blaze. It's an inferno.
Nice. All right, Carl, thank you. We got to let you go. We got to end the show. Kim's coming in with Thunder Road, the best of Springsteen in the band, and we got to make room for her. So we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, fellas. Bye now.
All right, Carl. So long.
Take care, Carl. Always a pleasure.
All right. All right, that was Carl Anthony, and Kim is in. I got all your stuff up there, Kim. So, Chris, we're going to get out of here next week. I don't know if we have a guest yet. I'll let you know during the week. Until then, stay safe, don't set anything on fire, and what do we say before we leave?
Don't follow us home, and if you do, bring a fire extinguisher.
Right, that's it. Motor Mouth Radio, WHPC 90.3. See you next week. Bye.
See you, bye.